explosion! It sounds great. It's Fanzo Patrol time. I'm the host of Fanzo Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley, Lockdown Edition. With me is my sensitive co-host, Miss Tifflebot. What's up, Tiff? How are you this week?
It's great. It's midweek. Feeling great.
Oh, yeah. Everybody got a little juice in them and stuff. We're feeling good and charged.
Hump day. Well, it's not hump day for us, but for you listeners, it's hump day.
You're damn right. We're going to get this out for y'all so y'all can enjoy your little car ride home and stuff, you know, because I got shit to do too, y'all.
Or maybe, like, get ready to go into the office. Be like, I want to feel pumped. I want to feel like, you know, it's Fans of Patrol time.
Right. Where are my co-hosts? I want them here with me so we can laugh all day and have a good time. And funny enough, though, Tiff, that literally the way I act on this podcast was the way I used to act when I was a law enforcement officer. Man, I just having a good time all the time and shit. Oh, boy. So this week, man, we're still on our tribute cycle, man. You know, we decided to go hard with Chadwick Boseman, man. You know, the main show is doing really good. People want to hear the tribute. And we picked a movie, man, and we couldn't pick Black Panther and Avengers or nothing of that, because we've done it on a main show. So that would be the quintessential crowning achievement of Chadwick Boseman, right? I mean, Black Panther, best role ever. And we've done 21 Bridges and things like that, but we never did 42. And you know, this movie got a lot of play, gained a lot of ground and things like that. And so a lot of people, you know, took notice of Chadwick Boseman with 42. So we decided to do 42, y'all. So that's the lockdown for this week. And so before we go too far, let me see. 42, what is it? A biography, drama, sport. That's how they categorize it. 2013, y'all. So PG-13, which I was surprised about.
There's a lot of bad words in this movie. A
lot of bad words. So that's why I was surprised. 2 hours, 8 minutes. So it's not too long. Starring Chadwick Boseman, T.R. Knight. Harrison Ford has a big role in this, and so does Nicole Beharie, who used to be on Sleepy Hollow, if anybody was a fan. Yeah, Christopher Maloney, for his fans, he's in this movie.
I love Christopher Maloney, but he's not in this movie for very long.
No, but he had an impact, though. So, you know, it's how impactful your roles are. Lucas Black. Alan Tudyk, one of our faves, is in this movie.
He is my favorite.
Can't wait to talk about him. And a host of a whole bunch of other people, because it's a baseball movie, y'all, so it's all kind of people.
I would like to shout out to Ryan Merriman, who plays Dixie Walker. He's one of the assholes. he was on a lot of Disney movies, like Disney Channel movies, ones that didn't even get released in theaters. So yeah. He was on, like, Luck of the Irish and Smart House. So if you're like my age, you remember that shit. So shout out to Ryan Merriman. Okay. Obviously not getting a lot of work.
Because I'm like, John C. McGinty. So, you know, they had a lot of people in this movie, a lot of historical figures and stuff, like people playing historical people and stuff like that. So, man, let me see. Is that it? Yeah, man. It's time to hit one. What you got, Tim?
Okay. My one word is a little complicated, but it's fluffy.
Fluffy. I can see that, because it kind of has that Disney-ish feeling in the beginning, but then once they start dropping all the N-words, you're like, whoa.
Yes, it's a lot, but I do think the reason I say that is because I do think this has a lot of... It's a great story, and it's a very good movie. Mm-hmm. But it kind of has that feeling like, yeah, they did a lot of that stuff, but there's a lot of skimming over the top and a lot of like, oh, actually I'm a good person and I forgive you. Yeah. And I'm sure there was a lot more, it was a lot more complex than that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's funny that you use the word complex, because my one word is non-complexity. Because... it took me a long time to watch this movie, Tiff. I never really wanted to see it because I've seen Jackie Robinson stories in the past. And I think the best one out there is the court martial of Jackie Robinson. It was a 80s movie, really, really good. It was when he was in the Army. He was playing football for the Army and stuff like that. And he was court-martialed, they mentioned in the movie. And it just was like, I mean, it was a television movie, I believe. And it was so good, you know. And
yeah.
I didn't need to see any more, you know what I'm saying, at that, sure. You know. So in 1947, Jackie Robinson becomes the first African-American to play in Major League Baseball in the modern era, when he was signed to the Brooklyn Dodgers and faces considerable racism in the process. Now, that's the breakdown of the movie. Is, considering mm-hmm. other breakdowns are like a fight to the wall, you know?
Yeah.
So let's throw them spoilers in there and let's get it started, man. So, man, here we are, man. You know, rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman, first of all. You know, we're doing mm-hmm. this movie and, we, you know, Chadwick in his prime, and I believe this is probably pre-cancer diagnosis, man. So he looks good in the movie, you know, and he's doing his thing. So where we start at with this movie, Tiff?
I think it's 2 years before he's actually in the major, like in with the. So he's playing on African American leagues.
He's in the Negro League, of course.
Yes, and so. But this Brooklyn Dodgers owner, Branch Rickey, wants to find an African-American player, a black player, to come onto his league. And his original statement about this is because all money is green. He wants money.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm pretty impressed with Harrison Ford in this movie, man, because, you know, Harrison Ford, we always joke that he's an old guy, but he's playing a really old guy in this, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't see Harrison Ford in this when and he plays this
role.
I
am impressed. I think this is probably the, like, sometimes you can watch a Harrison Ford movie and you're like, oh, he's really phoning it in today.
right.
But I think, like, this time, I think maybe he was really honored to get to play this person because he does a really, really good job. Like, this movie is not an Oscar movie.
Right.
But his performance might be Oscar worthy.
His performance was phenomenal. I was mesmerized watching him, you know, sitting at that desk. You know what I'm saying? Talking that stuff, you know, it's about green and, you know, well, I'm going to bring the first Negro into the league and you can kiss my ass if you disagree. You know what I'm like? This is, wow, look at him. You know, I didn't see Han Solo. I didn't see Indy. I saw, you know, what is it, Ricky?
Yes.
So, yeah, so he makes a decision. I love how his cronies around him lose their goddamn mind. I think it's great, you know, especially the little guy. He's just like, what the hell? Have you lost your goddamn mind, sir? You know? And so, you know, off is, you know, it's to the point now we have to find out which out of all these phenomenal athletes, who are we going to pick? And he ended up going, they had a discussion. He ended up picking Jackie Robinson. One, I think he really liked the fact that he was in the military and served. He loved mm-hmm. the fact that he was court-martialed because he did, you know, before Rosa Parks, I'm not getting to the back of the bus, you know, and that's never actually ever brought up, but that was a true thing. You know, he refused. He's like, I'm not doing it. You know, he was a sergeant in the Army, and I think some privates got on a bus and it was like, you know, get to the back inward, and he was like, I'm staying right here, and next thing you know, he was court-martialed. Big deal. I mean, they were going to lock him up for the rest of his life for doing something like that.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And so, that this is America, right?
I know.
This is America.
When you watch this movie, one of the things, and it's, you know, this is a white person saying this, but, like, it's just so heartbreaking to watch how everyday things are so fucking frustrating to get done. Like, these people don't want to rob a bank or like do anything crazy or like, you know, they don't even want, he just wants to play baseball. And like, and here's the thing. I mean, that is hard for anyone to do, but like, if you're good at it, it shouldn't be. And like his wife, like, just wants him to be okay. And it's crazy that, like, you know, all those white players, that's not something that they have to worry about. They don't have to worry that, like, just because he's black, he could get hurt on purpose.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah. I mean, welcome to being a black man and a black woman in America, man. I mean, it's not, you know, yeah, we had Jim Crow era, but it's really not too different now. I mean, depending on where you are, sometimes people see the racism. Some people, they don't want to acknowledge it. And this is black people included. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, if anything these recent times have taught you is that this shit ain't went nowhere.
Right.
You know. So anyway, man, he, you know, he has a meeting with Ricky, and I love that meeting because he gets in his face and he calls him all kind of names and stuff. And, you know, he's like, look, I need you not to fight, you know. And Jackie Robinson was a hothead, you know, in real life. And, you know, you say hothead, but, you know, take the average man and call him a bunch of names and stuff like that and see what they do. So, but being a black man, I mean, we're notoriously labeled as angry black man. You know, if you have an opinion, you're angry black man. You know, I'm an angry black man. We all angry black man because we'd be like, wait a minute, man, that's bullshit. Oh, look at him. Look at him. Oh, my God, here you go. You know, and so that was what Jackie Robinson, he suffered from, you know, because he didn't take no shit from nobody. He never did, ever, you know. So that was.
And that's one of the things in the movie that's really hard for me to watch is that them just telling him, be like, and here's the thing. It's so hard because, like, for his own safety, he has to, like, bite his tongue. And it sucks so bad to, like, there's, like, a scene later that we'll talk about. But, like, that they're like, no, you have to be, like, brave enough not to.
Yeah.
So, and then, I mean, that's, like, such a shitty sell. It's such a, like, it's like, no, you're doing. And it is, it's more like it's for their safety at the time. It just sucks because, like, that shouldn't be the case. And it's just, like, I shouldn't have to
literally
be the better man.
Literally, it makes no sense to take beatdowns and ridicule from people just to show your moral fiber.
Right, because it's like they're not showing their moral fiber and they're not getting punished.
Yes, and I'm not beating your ass. So anyway, man, you know, I love Cecil, man. We get introduced to Cecil. He's the writer and driver and everything. He, you know, I like this character, man. You know, and he tells him that I'm, you know, he tries to school Jackie quick, you know, when he's, you know, they take him to the house and you're going to stay here. They bring his wife. You're the only one allowed to come. You know, they come there and he's not on the Brooklyn Dodgers yet. He's on the Canadian team that they own.
Yes.
And, you know, he tries to warn him, but Jackie, you know, Jackie is being Jackie and he don't listen. And then the moment he gets around that corner, the same exact questions that Cecil was trying to, you know, tell him about, they were hitting him with it. He was looking like, oh shit, I should have listened to Cecil. I like that scene. I thought that was a really good scene because Cecil was standing in the back like, I told your ass, you know, just with a look.
So they offer him $600 per month,
mm-hmm.
and then a $3,500 signing bonus if he makes it to the Dodgers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of money for 1947.
My mama used to make in the 70s $30 a week. You know what I'm saying? So, oh yeah, but I guarantee you that it was probably only half of what the
what
the white of. Baseball players, if not a third of what they were making, you know what I'm saying?
Which is insane,
right? Because man, the stiff, some of the numbers when they were saying shit like, because I'm a baseball fan, I played baseball. That was my main sport. You know, I hate to say that because it's not my favorite sport, but it was my main sport. And yeah. I played third base, and a 650 batting average. I'm sitting there like, what? What? You know, you're batting 300 and people like sticking their chest out. You know, I'm like, whoa, he's batting 300. He's doing everything on the field. And, you know, nobody cares. You know, nobody wants to talk about it. So yeah. His first day out there after he sees after Cecil tries to warn him, I love that interaction because you have the bigoted reporters asking them crazy questions. And you have the pitcher. Who just hates his ass. You know, he gets up there and he tries to strike him out and throws nothing but balls and he walks, you know, walks. And he was a four sport athlete. And the boy has speed. I mean, he could have went anywhere. He could have went did football. I think football was like a goddamn joke back in the 40s. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he had major speed. So he used that. And these scenes when he was like running bases and shit, I loved them, Tiff. I couldn't get enough of them. What about you?
Yeah. Okay. So this is something that I don't know if people who listen to the show know about me. I don't like sports.
But you love sport movies.
But I love baseball movies. I do. So, like, some of my favorite movies of all time are baseball movies.
Yeah.
I just love Field I love of Dreams. League of Their Own, The Natural, Angels in the Outfield. I love you know,
try to think of some more.
I can't think of If They Build It. If You Build It, They Will Come.
I just said it.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. It's a lot of them. The Fabulous Baker Boys.
So good.
Yeah. I mean, they make that boring ass sport seem super exciting. So
because you're like, you know, it's America's pastime.
Yeah, this is America. Let's move on. Shit. So, you know. I like how Ricky shows up and he's talking to, you know, the coaches and stuff and pretty much telling them, you know, what I like about this movie, what it does to what it really does is it gives you those inside conversations, you know, with people who seem like they cool until the N word drop out of their mouth. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, damn, you know, OK, yeah, he seems like a good guy, but. You know, it really demonstrates the lack of impact that people of color, especially black people, have with a lot, you know, with some white people, you know, that no matter how good he was, he still called him N-word. No matter how much money he made, he still called him N-word, you know, and it was like, damn, you motherfuckers. You know? Yeah. Excuse my language. But that's just.
Well, that's
how it makes you feel,
like,
you know.
Some of the stuff that's harder to watch in the film than him being called names. Is when like his teammates have changes of heart, but then they're like, you know, you're still black, but
yeah, and I don't really think like, shit happened like that, you know. So I was just like,
no, that's what I'm saying. That's why I said fluffy, because I was like, bullshit.
Yeah,
I bet no one was ever nice to him.
Yeah, I don't think they were.
I bet like people treated him like shit, and like you know how it, like, and to kind of like, and here's the thing, I get it, because maybe they don't want to tell a sad story, but if you told that true story, then you would understand how much more amazing it is that somebody can go out and do these incredible things.
Yeah, I would prefer to watch that story actually than watch the few white people come around. You know,
we're the good whites.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck you. It's like he did these things that were beyond what anyone could do, and he did that despite. No support.
All the psychological strain that he was under.
Yeah. Man. And people, like, it's not like, you know, and like they do show like the black crowds like cheering for him, but then mostly like people booing him.
Okay. This bothered me about this movie because I kept seeing integrated crowds and I was like, what the hell is going on? You know, and it took me a minute to realize that those were the Canadian crowds that were. That were integrated, because I was like, and it didn't matter, you know, because the people were still like, you know, F you. But the Canadian crowds were not, you know, segregated. But there were some American crowds that were not segregated. And I was like, why wouldn't they get this shit right? Am I wrong? You know, I'm like, no, this is not right. And so, you know, they go through all these trials and tribulations he's having working for the Canadian League. I like the little boy. They keep showing a little. I thought he was going to be like Hank Aaron or something like that, but he was a baseball star.
He was a ball player.
A ball player, not a star, right. I was like, I bet you that's somebody like Hank Aaron or some shit like that, you know. But I liked the little duality story that was going on, you know, the chasing the train. But, you know, of course, he couldn't catch no break with nobody, you know, the whole time. You know, and one thing about movies like this that bothers me sometimes is that they make every white person like the damn devil, you know? it's like, you know, even Ricky had his reasons for doing what he did, except for they had that one scene where, you know, he was frustrated and he got out of the box and came down and talked to him and stuff and even hugged him and shit. And I was like, I wonder if that happened. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I wonder, is that real? Did that happen? If that was, that would have been cool. If not, this movie is bullshit. You know, so I was sitting there thinking. So let's talk
about... Well, and I think probably Leo Durocher.
Uh-huh.
Probably, we didn't see much of him, whether or not he had an attitude about it, but he was willing to, like, fuck up his players who signed that contract.
Oh yeah, and I love that scene too. Yeah, it's because so good. He came in like the goddamn Terminator, man. He had the red dot on people's heads, like boom, boom, boom. I'm like, shit, and they were scared of his ass, man. You know. But he couldn't leave the booty alone, Tiff. He couldn't leave the booty alone.
I know, and it's crazy to me now. So, like, so in this, what happens is they have Leo Durocher agrees to be the manager for the Dodgers, and then he gets suspended by the commissioner of baseball because of his personal life. He had an extramarital affair, or she did.
Unapologetically. He was like, shit, it's my business.
And it's crazy that, like, today I don't think that that would get you suspended from baseball.
Oh, well, you can pay off, you know, porn stars and shit right now. Everybody in America know it.
You can be president. You can be president.
You can still be president. You can sit around and make fun of, you know, handicapped people and shit. And you can still be president. So, America, y'all need to get y'all shit together. What happened to this bullshit? But even this bullshit was bullshit because you're going to sit up there and talk about somebody cheating on his wife, but it's okay to call a whole race of people N-words and, you know, all this other shit. So get out of here with that bullshit, you know. We're going to be moral high. To some people, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, let me see. So
yes, that's the problem. Like, not the problem with this movie. That's the problem with people generally, is that, like, they don't think, like, that's not bad to them.
No, it's not.
That's not. It's not. They don't think that that's a bad thing to do.
Right, right, at all. So, you know, there's scenes in this movie where people, like, you know, he gets hit in the head on purpose. You know, I think that happened more than one
time.
That
can kill you.
Oh, absolutely. What he had going for him is those dudes didn't throw as hard as the guys that throw now. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't nobody throwing at 108 back then, you know. But it was still baseball. And I liked the scenes. I really liked when his wife was coming to all the games. I liked that that interaction they had, you know, was showing her. And it pissed me off when she got pregnant. And she didn't come to no more games. You know, I was like, damn, I really like when she was, you know, there, because she was real cute and shit. And, you know, it was, and he was like totally focused on her the whole time. You know, all those people in the audience, and it was about him and her. You know, and I really liked that. The movie did a really good job at showing how important his wife was to him. You know, he asked to marry her as soon as he got the contract before. She knew he had the contract, and I was like, yeah, make sure she knew. don't tell her, I got the money, baby. You want to get married? So there's plenty of baseball scenes, but then we get to the scene with your boy, Alan Tudyk.
Okay, I want to talk about this because, so before we watched this, well, before I watched this movie.
Right.
Montego told me.
Oh, yeah.
That there's a scene with Alan Tudyk.
And he is the effing worst.
And he goes crazy. And I thought, so I watched the movie. Alan Tudyk doesn't make an appearance until probably like halfway into the movie or more.
Yep.
And so I kept thinking, oh, Montego's mistaken. Alan Tudyk isn't in this movie. He must have thought that the other guy was Alan Tudyk, the guy who plays Leo Durocher.
Oh, no. I know my Alan Tudyk. He's one of my favorites, too.
Like, then I saw him, and I was like, oh, no.
Here it comes. Oh, no. Oh, shit. He goes ham on his ass. And, oh, my God, Tiff. You know, I'm glad they did this, you know, because I'm sure this wasn't the only time that this happened.
Yeah.
But, I mean... It was so bad that it was some points in it I was laughing. And I was like, I shouldn't be laughing at this shit. This is terrible. You know, I was just like, fuck. And I'm like, I'm looking at Alan Tudyk like, God damn. I mean, goodness gracious. It would be hard. It would be hard.
I think it would be really hard. I just feel like if it was me, I'd be like, the day of shooting, I'd be like, I just want to say I'm sorry to everyone.
Please.
This is about to happen.
Can I have a shot of liquor over here before I get started? I need some courage. I need some goddamn courage.
Because it's really bad and it goes on for so long. It goes on for so long that it's more like... no matter what you were saying, you would have to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh my God. When he comes back out, he's like, oh, here we go. I was like, God damn.
Oh my God.
But Tiff, I'm sure it was probably worse than this. Now, this is where the movie kind of loses me at. Because Jackie goes in, he's mad, he breaks the bat, and the guy comes down, mm-hmm. and he hugs, and he goes back out there. I was kind of just like, you know, I couldn't imagine. I was surprised that it got to him as bad as he did, because the fans were way worse than he could ever be. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even the scene where they show racism being taught, where the guy's father was out there and he was really, really nice. And as soon as the black man showed up, he just, and the little kid was looking around like, wow, this is fucked up. Don't do this. And then all of a sudden he just conformed immediately and just started calling him the N-word. I was like, fuck. See? That's what I'm talking about. All this shit is learned. Go ahead.
Sorry.
No.
I think that scene for me, what it was, it's like the last beacon of hope was like gone, because like he was all alone. Like nobody said anything. Nobody did anything. And like that must have felt so lonely. Like if even one person would have just been like, fuck you to that guy.
Yeah.
And like later there is a scene where one of his teammates comes out and is like, what's wrong with you?
I like that scene. You know, I like that
scene
when he comes out and he's like, enough is enough. This is my teammate. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, it's about damn time for real. I mean, I don't give a damn how you feel about another person. Y'all wearing the same colors. You know, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? You know, I mean, you want him out of the league. Y'all only got to where y'all was going because of him. You know, he was phenomenal. You know, he was killing everybody. And so, you know, then they had to, later on, they had the little makeup picture. And, you know, Jackie said he wanted to be on the field in front of the people. They didn't touch each other. They just grabbed a bat. And, you know, that was cool. It was really got me when he was interviewing with the reporters. And he was like, he did the RG Bunker. Well, I talk about everybody. I call, you know, this group. We call him this, you know, trying to justify it. And for a moment, I was sitting there like, wow, is that really true? Then I thought, and I'm like, he don't stand up there and give every person the business like he gave Jackie. You know, he just couldn't wait for him to get up there to say that stuff. So that was bullshit too. So moving on. So, you know, I think after that scene, Jackie was pretty much over all of the cries and the bull crap. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you know, he got dinged in the head. Wife had the baby. And then he started being, you know, accepted to some degree, because they had that scene where, you know, nothing but white kids is, you know, want his autograph and stuff, and none for his teammates and stuff, you know. And I'm like, yeah, well, he's crushing it, man. You know, regardless of what you can say about a person, you know, if they're exceptional, they're exceptional. And, you know, he was killing it all over the field. And then they were showing little stuff like him trying to catch the ball and the guy holding him up and him actually getting, you know, accepted as a teammate. And that's the stuff where you cry bullshit. You say, this is bullshit, you know, because this shit actually happened, you know. And I don't really think it did, Tiff. You know, my history doesn't – I don't remember him ever – I mean, I think it was years when, you know, because the next year more Negro League players was coming in, but they faced the same type of bull crap, you know, from everybody. That, you know, it was like Jackie Robinson all over again, but we don't really talk about those stories. Mm-hmm. One of the characters I really like was the assistant of Ricky, who basically became anti-racist as the movie went on. You know, I mean, he literally, you know, was ready to whoop some ass if, you know, somebody said something. I like that little dude, man.
I mean, I do think, like, there is that whole, and it's not always true, obviously, but, like, a lot of prejudice stems from, like, not knowing things about certain cultures or certain races. And I think, like, at that time, because of all the segregation, obviously, you probably didn't ever know a single black person.
Tiff, I've met plenty of people who told me that in my life. Plenty. Like, you know, they get all weird and shit. Excuse me. And they look at you and they're like, looking around and, you're the first black fella I ever met. I'm like, really? Oh, good for you. Okay. Moving on.
You know what? White people Don't say that stuff. I mean, just keep it to yourself.
It's happened so many times in my life, especially in college. It happened all the time in college, but every once in a while it happened, and it'd be like, you know, oh, okay, get the hell away from me.
Oh my God.
So like I was saying, the wife had the baby, and the last game that they showed here was the game them trying to win the pennant, you know,
right.
And the team of what the Pirates, you know, that which were at that point in time their rivals, and they had, you know, all the guys who was racist on that team, and they was just trying to destroy them. And you know, Jackie got into the pitcher's head, you know, just, you know, throw him a strike, everybody throw him a strike. He threw him a strike and it was over. Bam, you know, game was over. You effed up. You should have just kept throwing at him.
And there is a really, I mean, okay, I will say that this does have some like really beautiful shots. So this is one of them when he's running home.
Yes.
And they cut it between him running home to his wife. So he's running to the base and he's running home to his wife. It's very good. It's very, you feel like, yes, yes, yes. It's a great scene in a movie.
Yeah. And I like how they followed up with all the other teammates and stuff who were cool and not cool, you know, saying that this person was a Hall of Fame. He went to All-Star Game 3 times. This person, you know, ended up becoming a manager. You know, they showed your boy Alan Tudyk. His said Ben Chapman, he was fired and he never managed again, you know. So, you know, they were kind of showing people's just rewards, just desserts and things like that. And so I like a little follow-up sometimes, especially.
I love a follow-up.
When they it's about real characters, you know.
Yeah.
So that's when they showed a little boy and it was like, he's so and so and so and so, and I'm like, I knew he was something. I was sitting there, I just knew he was Hank Aaron with his little tight ass little shirts on and stuff like that. Ed Charles, that's who he was. He had a tight ass little shirt. So overall, man, I think it was an enjoyable movie, but I agree with you. Your one word was way better. It was super fluffy. You know, even with the N-words, I still don't think it really got deep until how, you know what I'm saying, how this stuff really right. was. I think y'all try to make it a feel-good movie on top of being a historical movie. I mean, is that how you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, this is like a popcorn movie. So, like, you can, you know, go to the drive-in and you're going to feel good when you see it. But, like, how historically accurate is it?
I'm not really sure it was that historically accurate. One thing that I did appreciate is that, you know, they showed that his number was retired. And
I loved that. That gave me goosebumps. Like, he's the only one that said, right? That's the yes. only 42 is the only retired number.
Yeah, it's the only retired number. And they just his day was just the other day. You know, they just, and I thought that was interesting. You know, Chadwick Boseman played the role. He passed. Jackie Robinson, his day was, I think it was last week, and where they did come out with the 42. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, cool as hell. Yeah, because other than Babe Ruth, who was pretty much an asshole in real life, you know, who other numbers you're going to retire? I mean, Babe Ruth he's not a Jackie Robinson as far as class and shit like that. You know, he was just.
Sure. Is he the fucking thing that lives in the trash on Sesame Street? Oscar the Grouch?
He kind of looked like Oscar the Grouch. He used to smoke cigars and shit, and, you know, on the field and shit, you know. And he was super overweight. He come out there and just, you know, he did the old point to the crowd and stuff. I mean, Babe Ruth was a badass, you know, in his time. You know, don't get me wrong, but. You know, as far as, you know, being classy and shit, nobody will ever accuse him of being classy. That's for sure. So that's it, man. That's the movie. You know, I think Chadwick Boseman did a pretty adequate job in this. I mean, he was fine. The movie, because the movie was only fine. I think Harrison mm-hmm. Ford actually stole the show. Mm-hmm. But like I said, a movie where he stole the show was the Black Panther. We can't review it again, y'all. So we just can't do it twice. So anyway, man, I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is my sensitive co-host, Miss Tiffelbot. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
It's been a midweek pleasure.
It sure has been a midweek pleasure. This will come out this weekend, man. I think we're doing that Jamie Foxx popping pills and superpower movie.
Power pill, is that what it's called?
Something like that. I don't know what the hell it's called. There's a lot of stuff we need to do, man. We got Bill and Ted and stuff. I hear, I wanted to go to the movies, Tiff, to do some Tenet and stuff like that, but I ain't doing it. The movie house around here, they don't let you go like at the 10 o'clock show in the morning like I want to do. They move. They only have a few showings. It starts at 5 o'clock. Oh, they're
trying to pack them all in there and make us all have COVID.
Exactly. I ain't going to no damn movie now, man. So the hell with that. So we'll have to wait. And by the way, the reviews on New Mutants is going, it looks like it's going to be on a... We might get a video on demand with the quickness. I hear it's terrible. Oh, shit. So anyway, man. I think that's going to do it. And until Sunday, we will be
on patrol.
Time.